What's a print embellishment trend that you secretly love and one you would wish?
The one I secretly love is anything and everything to do with holographic foil.
Hologram. Oh, yes.
I love to see how people play with holo foil and holo effects, be it the cast and cure films or different colors of holographic foils or patterns. Just the way, especially if they do it really intelligently.
What's up, everyone? It's Eric Vessels with Tactiful. Welcome back to another episode of Tactiful Tuesdays. A very special episode, actually. This is episode 21. So this is the legal drinking age episode. Unfortunately, it's early in the morning, so I don't have any bourbon handy. But this week on Tactiful Tuesdays, we're excited to welcome someone who lives at the intersection of creativity, technology, and all things print, April Lytle, who is the Global Brand Innovation Manager at Skodix. She champions the power of digital print embellishments, but her journey didn't start there. With a background in marketing, design, brand strategy, she spent years advocating for how brands can stand out, not just with big ideas, but with bold execution. Whether it's foil, texture, dimensionality, April knows that the difference is in the details. She's a passionate storyteller, a print enthusiast, and someone who understands that when print is done right, it doesn't just catch your eye, it leaves a real lasting impression. We're here to talk about her path, her role, where she sees the future of embellished print headed, and of course, we'll get to know the human behind the title too. April, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was like the best introduction ever.
These big
I should
long
hire
intros.
you to do the intros for all my events.
I'm there. All you gotta do, you know me. Just as long as there's snacks, I'll show up. I'll be there. But yeah, I have fun with the introductions and try to do a little bit of research. Of course, known you for quite a while, but you've created a unique niche, really, in the print world. How did your career path lead you to Skodix and the world of embellishment?
Sure. So I have a history in print. I've ran Xeroxes and Konica Minoltas and done production. I worked for an international minute press for a while, and I did a Sir Speedy for a while, so more on the commercial side of things. But so I was a production artist for the longest time, and then I kind of drifted into the world of marketing for a while, and those two things kind of combined got me into Kurtz. And so I was there for 7 years and fell in love with the artistry and the technique of embellishments. And how I got to Skodix is funny. I was at as a designer and have used all the digital embellishment methods that were out. I was at a trade show. I was at LuxPack, and I was in a mutual customers booth. It was Carlson, and I was just gushing to them about how much I liked the Skodix effects and how Skodix was the best one for digital in terms of quality. And the next thing I know, the president of Skodix was calling and being like, "Hey, do you want a job?" And I was actively trying to leave that one, so it just married perfectly.
Serendipity. And what's fun, and you're still gushing to this day.
Yes, all things embellishments, all the post print effects are.
That's awesome. And of course I've known you before I sort of entered the digital embellishment geek world when I was at What They Think and we became friends. But now I'm also I guess you would say one of the gushers. But for people who might not live and breathe print, which most people who are going to be exposed to this do, but for their benefit as well, how would you describe what Skodix does, like in plain English?
By digitally applying finishing effects like varnish and foil, that's how most people enter it. However, Skodix can digitally apply cast and cure and some other effects as well. It's a cold process, so it's very similar to what you would think of as cold foil, using like a glue and adhesive as either the polymer to adhere the materials, or that the polymer is used as the decoration itself. But what makes it unique is you have tactility. So you can go up to, as long as it clears between the substrate and the top of the polymer, as long as it clears 4 millimeters, it can go really high. So that's the really big difference between cold foil and our process. They both are similar. There's like an LED and they're curing it, but there's no heat, less energy, all that. And there's ink heads in there that work almost like you would think of as a CMYK printer, but they just apply polymer.
Right. Yeah. I think it's what we often say is like, of course, a lot of people say CMYK plus, a lot of people say, you know, sexy print, you know, taking, and one of our talks, we talk about taking ordinary print and making it extraordinary. And I think that's probably my favorite one because that's what I see happening a lot of times. And you hear the squeaky toy?
A little bit, but I love it because I know the cute
Max face. Says hello. He's over there. Of course, he's got 14,000 toys and he picks the one with the squeaker in it. But I know that people don't mind. Though eventually you'll have to see him because he'll be as big of a horse walking behind me. But so maybe having said that, right, where embellishment turns something good into something unforgettable, you know, sexy print, all that. Are there any of your favorite like wow moments with a project or even something that you've just seen? And kind of walk us through kind of why it was a wow moment and what was the application and what you thought. Or do you have any examples that you can, obviously we can't see them, but just kind of talk us through kind of
an example of
going
looking on my desk, for example. There's one that a lot of people have seen. I entered in the FSEA. I gave a bunch out. We took them to LuxPack New York. And it was when we first launched SHD. I love all kinds of crazy effects, you know, cast and cure, micro embossing and all that is wow. But I think one of my favorite wow moments was when we first did SHD, because that was the moment of divergence. I'm like, okay, this is absolutely something now. We have just transitioned from the commercial world into luxury packaging and in a bunch of other markets because of the detail of this. I did a print that had these whales on them. And it said like dream at the top, big moon. Yeah. But the whales were fine line illustration. And I was like, I know we just came up with this technology, but I'm going to design something that's going to break it immediately.
There you go.
So I used these super fine line whales. They were just in like a matte gold. So it wasn't anything even super flashy or sparkly. It was just the delicate lines that we were able to do and how beautiful they looked in that particular print. It was, you know, because it was a vanity piece. It wasn't like packaging or anything. So it truly was for me, like the first piece I'd done with Skodex that was like art in the nature of how it came out. So
you mentioned SHD, maybe explain what that is.
Sure. So in the ever evolving world of AI, we were an early adopter of that technology and used it to power our press, to give it a little bit of its own ability to make choices. So our SHD powered press can actually intelligently make choices based on the artwork that's coming through. So if you have artwork that has like fine lines, it can look at that and say, well, this needs less polymer because we're trying to achieve a thinner line. So on the same page, it'll do a less polymer for thinner lines and more polymer for or regular polymer for bigger areas.
So if you didn't have that, like your thin lines could potentially be like together and kind of become less distinct or what is that?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to achieve like as flat or as thin as that for sure.
Gotcha.
Like SHD can get text down to like 5 points. It can get reverse outs to 6 points. I've gotten lines that were 0.1 strokes. So, I mean, and I'm like in my real life outside of work, I do illustrations like pen and ink illustrations. And so being able to create effects that match that level of preciseness is great, because coming from the hot stamping world, you know, you have all these rules and restrictions and based on what you can hot stamp, because, you know, there's all this heat and pressure and it can make, you know, what you can accomplish kind of volatile sometimes. But with this, it's just like the handcuffs come off. It's like, just design what you can in order to attempt to break the press. It is not often that I've done something that we just absolutely could not do. But with hot stamping, I would have needed like an etched die, like a chemically etched die to create those kind of thin lines.
Yeah. So what kind of, I know you're speaking with brands. What kinds of conversations are you having with brands right now, and what's exciting them about the world of digital print embellishment, and what maybe is still misunderstood?
Sure. One of the most popular requests that I'm getting right now is for glitter, surprisingly.
Really?
So we have a process that's built into our press. We created this program that creates a textured effect that goes on top of a foil. So a specific foil goes down first. It's a holographic foil with lots of like little circles on it. And then on top of that is a program that we've built that creates this specific textured varnish. And the way the light diffracts up through that varnish build, it looks just like glitter. And so people are pretty excited about that because in Europe, glitter is banned, period. You can't have glitter on your packaging. But it in US, working with glitter is expensive, it's messy.
Sure.
So this solution is just exciting a lot of people to know that it's there.
Interesting.
The other thing that I've seen start to pick up a little bit of momentum with brands is a lot of them right now are on these inclusivity journeys. So how do we create some kind of component that visually impaired consumers can interact with on our packaging? And one of the coolest stories I've heard recently came from Paul Hudson from Hudson Printing. They just did an SAT booklet using raised varnish, and it was the first time ever they've been able to like think about geometry with the shapes. They were able to raise the shapes so that visually impaired folk could actually properly take the
Whoa.
SAT. Because they can actually feel the components of the.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I think that area too is ripe with like dual function, right? Where like you can have both design elements as well as those raised elements to sort of complement. And me as a visually unimpaired person, like, you know, I don't need that raised varnish, but it's there for the person who might be, right?
Right.
And I think packaging is a huge, huge opportunity for that. We're hearing a lot of that too. I love that. I love that SAT project though. That's
It's
awesome.
it was really, really cool. But and if you think about it, so a smaller and smaller percentage of visually impaired folk are using Braille because to get Braille materials, it was ex very expensive. There were long wait times. You know, there's only a handful of places that can do it. It's a very arduous process. There's no personalization, no variability at all with any of that. And so the language was kind of dying out because of, you know, being able to produce any of it. So now that we have a digital solution that can effortlessly create Braille materials to Braille standards and include variability and personalization,
Yes.
I mean, it has the potential to revive a language and bring communication back again. So thinking about it, I get like just the inclusivity part of it, I get super excited. And I haven't seen a lot of projects like go headfirst into that yet, but I feel like in the future it's going to be coming. It's just, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And, you know, I think that it should be our, you know, mantle actually to work with a lot of these schools specifically on these projects and connect them with printers so that they can start producing materials.
Absolutely. And you know, they don't know what they don't know. It's kind of, you know, as you know, it's our core, I guess, core principle at Tactiful is to educate the market, you know, wherever we can. And that's why I love doing these, because, you know, getting to hear from you and getting to hear about those applications. Now other printers are gonna watch this and kind of investigate and see how they could do it. OEMs are gonna think about it, how we can. I also love the inclusivity part of that, because it's just where we can do stuff cool with print that people aren't expecting, I think is like really, really kind of raises the bar for what we're able to do. And I dig that. So what's one trend or tool or idea you think every designer should be exploring?
I think just exploring the tactility side of things.
Yes. do you think about that though as a designer, April? Like because design for me is like very, it seems like it's very visual, right? So the top of mind for them is the visual aspect of it. How do they then start to get it into their brain that there's a 3D tactile element there that they can use? I guess education, talking about.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that's just my responsibility and to create awareness. But, you know, as a designer before, a lot of them wouldn't consider that because it's complicated, it's expensive, you have to work with a dye company and look through their textures or patterns. Or if you're a more advanced designer, then you would have to create your own and then work with the dye company. And there was a lot of work to get height to things before. However, you know, with the nature of packaging now and how experiential brands are trying to be, you know, we have all these like unboxing things and pop-up events and influencers and being able to give them this tactile experience that they can have on camera, because that's usually where it's going to end up. You know, you've got all these people taking to TikTok to review things now, but giving them seeing the actual like visceral surprise on their face when they run their fingers on something, I think I want to say tactility is probably where they should start thinking. Absolutely. Especially in terms of digital embellishment.
It can be so simple.
I, yes.
I had someone hand me a business card, someone that I've known for a long time. They had a new business card. So did I. Tactful. Here you go. And it had soft touch on it. And I was just like, whoa, like me, like I'm used to this stuff. Right. But it's still, I caught myself having that emotional reaction to feeling print. Right. So a couple of the last questions. You've probably seen it all by now. What's a print embellishment trend that you secretly love and one you would wish?
The one I secretly love is anything and everything to do with holographic foil. I love to see how people play with holo foil and holo effects, you know, be it the like cast and cure films or like different colors of holographic foils or patterns. Just the way, especially if they do it really intelligently, and because some of them can have actual movement like built into the pattern itself, and to see it done really well where the holo moves with their design. Oh man, that does it for me. I'm sold on whatever nice. That is. And the one that I wish would go away is just shiny gold. Can we stop putting shiny gold
everything's
on
gold.
Everything? There are other colors that exist. Even a matte gold would be great, but, or like try a rose gold. Rose gold, ITW, for example, makes this beautiful rose gold that works well in our presses, by the way. I would love to see just some divergence away from shiny gold.
Well, but I think that's the problem with anything that strikes us as cool is like we just start to overuse it, right? It's like everything in the print world that's awesome or that's new and cool, it gets overused. And I think, so I mean, I think that's good advice one way or the other. So I want to wrap up with it with a little human question here. What's something totally non-work related that you're obsessed with?
I am completely obsessed with the Renfair community.
Renaissance.
Yes,
Renaissance. Is that where that's where you get the big turkey leg thing?
Correct.
Those are
I am a leather crafter. I make my own armor. I have a side gig called the Queen's Vanguard. I have a little business partner and we make leather bracers and leather accessories for like the Renfair community.
Do you make chainmail? I had a buddy that made chainmail.
I have a friend who makes chainmail. Actually, the first event that I'm ever vending is called Norse Forged. And the person that I'm sharing my booth with is a chainmail maker.
That is so awesome. That is so great. I love that. I just love learning so much more about the people that I interview. But April, thanks for being on my Legal to Drink episode of Tactful Tuesdays, episode 21. If you want to find out a little more about April, she's pretty active on LinkedIn as well. April Lytle, again, Global Brand Innovation Manager at Scodex. Thanks for taking some time and being on the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. Fun hanging out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One of my most defining career moments, I don't know, I think for me, it's always been about passing up on opportunities that didn't serve me, honestly. Because, because, I've had the opportunity to be in a lot of different leadership roles. And unfortunately, sometimes I might have found myself there, maybe for the wrong reasons, right? Like maybe the money was really good, but at the end of the day, like I didn't really have any peace.